Future-proof extra.
With Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland.
On News Talk.
Yes, welcome back. This is Future Proof on News Talk. I'm Jonathan McRae. If you'd like to get in touch, you can email us, science@newstalk.com, or you can WhatsApp us, 087 1400 106. And you can WhatsApp us about the dreams that you have, but only if you can control them. Because that's what we're going to be talking about now. Because we all have desires and aspirations that for one reason or another are beyond our ability. It's just something we have to accept. But it's not the case when we dream. There, we can be whoever or whatever we want to be, if we can take control, of course. Lucid dreaming is a way of being alert within our dreams, and it is a skill that can be learnt, apparently. Emma Peters is a PhD student in the Lucid Lab at the University of Bern in Switzerland. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Emma. We've talked about lucid dreaming before on the programme, but just remind people, what exactly are we talking about?
So lucid dreaming is a dream in which you are aware that you are dreaming while you're still dreaming. So at some point you realize, okay, this is too weird. This cannot be real. And then you would understand, okay, I'm actually asleep in my bed. I'm not actually here. So that is the basis of what lucid dreaming is.
How do we know that that isn't just a dream as well? I mean, I'm going straight into the Inception nest of consciousness here. But when we talk about lucid dreaming, the idea is that, you know, that you become alert within the dream. You're aware that you're alert. And some people then can, you know, can actually act and shape the world to their will, although not everyone can. But how do we know that the thought that I'm lucid dreaming isn't actually itself just a normal dream?
Yeah, I mean, lucid dreaming is not a yes no thing, right? It's a spectrum. So even I've also had lucid dreams. I mean, I've been working on this for 6 years or something, and even I have dreams where I'm like, it feels like my dream character is playing as if it would be lucid. It's not really a lucid dream. It's just faking it, kind of.
Wow.
It's like, oh, look, this is not real. And now I'm going to convince everyone else it's not real. And why is it not real? Because this and this and this. But I don't feel like I understand that I'm really asleep. It's just this story that I tell over and over and that I'm so familiar with. It just, I dream about that. So,
that scenario, I'm not surprised that you have these dreams, because of course you're working in this area for so long. It's bound to sort of seep into your life as work does into mine. So tell me, you know, this is a difficult area to research in a way, because you're talking about a mode of consciousness that we don't fully understand. And consciousness itself is, of course, famously the hard problem of science. So how do you research something like lucid dreaming?
Yeah, so since the 80s or the late 70s even, we found out that you can verify these lucid dreams objectively using your eye movements. So lucid dreams happen mostly in REM sleep, so rapid eye movement sleep, where you have rapid eye movements. So your eye muscles are not paralyzed while the rest of your body is in healthy situations. And in lucid dreaming, what you can do is, us researchers can ask the people, okay, when you are lucid, move your eyes left, right, far, all the way to the ear and the other ear, all the way back. And we can see that on the screen, that are not normal rapid eye movements. So normal rapid eye movements have more just random, I mean, they're random eye movements, or like not completely random, but that's another subject. But
yeah, but it's not a regular pattern. And so see someone go left slowly, right slowly, you know that that's a conscious decision being made.
Yeah, and also, the repetition, and also the fact that we say, like, stretch it out all the way to the left ear, all the way to the right ear. The peaks get higher, so you can recognize this. And this is what first triggered, like, the objective, like, this is not something that happens as a result of normal REM sleep. This is a choice that was being made in the dream that you can now see in real life, kind of.
And we know when someone's dreaming by looking at an fMRI, right? If I were to give you a brain pattern and say, is this person awake or asleep, would you be able to tell?
Because like, those are two different things, huh? So you could tell if you put, I work mostly with EEG. So say, you stick on EEG electrodes, so you measure brain activity, you measure eye movements and muscle activity. Yes, you can say this person is in which sleep stage. You can be quite specific, but you cannot tell just by looking at it in real time if someone is even dreaming. So yes, you can see they are asleep and in which sleep stage they are in. But if they're if they have dream content, you cannot see just like that.
Right. But you know that they shouldn't normally be able to move their eyes, at least. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly.
You know that they shouldn't be able to do that when you look at their brains. They're definitely not conscious as we would. Yeah.
So like with normal dreams, I mean, you just see REM sleep. That's it. Right. And it happens to be 99% of the time, if you wake them up, they have a dream experience beforehand. But it is just also a memory effect. Like, it's just based on the memory we have. It's not a direct measurement. But yes, indeed, with these REM sleep, so you know, okay, this person is obviously paralyzed. They're not awake, and yet they're making these eye movements. So they cannot be awake at this stage. You can see it. Yeah, exactly. That's what probably you meant.
So talk to me about the research that's been done to sort of cross the barrier of sleep to both try and communicate to people who are lucid dreaming and to have them communicate from within their dream, please, because I think that's so cool.
Me too. Yeah, so basically the first thing that we use for this communication is the eyes. So you can do left, right, which means you can do yes, no, which means you can do counting, whatever binary communication at this point.
Right.
If you use two electrodes. But so that you can also move further and say, okay, we stick 7 electrodes on it. And then you can use more intricate eye patterns, for instance. So for I'm not a specialized in algorithms and decoding eye movements and stuff. So for me, it's easiest to do some kind of binary because you can just do counting and binary responses. What now is also starting to come up is nasal sniffs. So Karen Conkeley did in her dissertation, she wrote about this, which is also something you can do in a rapid eye movement sleep and in a lucid dream. So you put the nasal cannula in someone's nose and then you measure the airflow or, for instance, temperature or something. And then people can also do yes, no's or counting or whatever responses by sniffing really hard.
And so if you got it complex enough, would you be able to get someone to tell you what they're seeing in their dream? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, it will be. It's a matter of time.
Wow.
So also a friend and colleague of mine, Christopher Appel in Osnabrück, he's really getting into this and also more these more intricate eye movements. So he thought of this really brilliant method where you use more eye electrodes, so you can use very distinctive patterns of eye movements. And then, for instance, tell the lucid dreamer to imagine a keyboard and then that they have to do some calibration beforehand. You say, okay, before you do spacebar, E, P, Z or whatever. And then you can decode the Swift key on your phone, the algorithm that predicts what kind of text you want to write. You can do that in the lucid dream as well using your eye movements.
Wow.
If you calibrate first this fake keyboard,
So literally these people could write words?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God. How do you find these people? How do you find someone that can lucid dream?
I personally, in my day-to-day life, mostly. Like I really try also I have an Instagram page. I try to get the word out that we exist because these people who are very skilled at lucid dreaming, they have them often. They're rare to find and often they don't know I exist and then I'm looking for them. So for instance, on Tuesday, I taught a course about dreaming and I asked about dream frequency and lucid dream frequency. And there's just a random person who says, oh yeah, I have 3 per week. And then, but they have no idea that that's an interesting thing and that their brain is super valuable to me.
And you're like, give me your brain.
Yes, I'm like, I won't leave
can
you
I
alone.
Speak to you after class?
Exactly.
Okay, very interesting. There are some other things, right? Some actual actions like moving to music or other movements that people can do while they're dreaming. So not just their face, is that right?
So in REM sleep, you have sleep paralysis. So it's just a safety measure for your body not to hit anyone in your sleep or whatever. You can still measure muscle twitches. So if people flex their arms or legs in a lucid dream, you can measure those in small muscle activity.
Wow.
So there's also a paper of someone who uses this as a way of communicating or reaching the outside world by muscle attention.
Okay, so this is all like very cool and very science fiction-y, but like, is it helpful for anything? Like, why is it important to do this sort of research?
Mm. Yeah, for fundamental dream science and fundamental consciousness science, the big problem that we have, which everyone has at this point, is the fact that our data is super bad quality, essentially, because you're using dream reports, right? You dream happens, a person, you wake up the person, you say, what happened before? They respond. This is, first of all, super fragmented. You forget half of it. Don't even know if it was really there. I mean, the memory works in a completely different way during sleep. It's quite flawed compared to wakefulness. So these dream reports are not reliable at all. It is what we have now. But when you objectively, it's really difficult. Also, then you get more into an ethical thing where it's like, okay, these people could also say whatever they want, which is a problem with any questionnaire or any research.
Yeah.
But mostly this memory component is there. Like, how do we know that was really what was happening? And also the time stamping. So this communication enables us to research dreaming and consciousness while it's happening and not based on some fragmented memory version of it. And that is the key to be able to research lucid dreaming and consciousness during sleep while it's happening.
There was this idea that, you know, sleep is and dreaming is when we sort of sort out the information in our brain. And I don't know, have we got an update to that theory? and if so, could this sort of research help with, you know, dealing with trauma or PTSD or those sort of things?
Yeah, so lucid dreaming, apart from this fundamental research, right? How does consciousness work? How do dreams work? They have applications in many fields. So like you say, phobias, nightmare treatment, and then nightmares in general, like in patients that happen to have nightmares as a symptom, whether that is post-traumatic stress disorder or phobias. The idea of lucid dreaming is the fact that you can take control over, for instance, a recurring nightmare. So whether you're a war veteran or whatever, and you dream over and over and over the whatever trauma you experienced, these people don't want to go to sleep anymore. They avoid sleep. They drink themselves until they are unconscious just to not reach this trauma again, which is a huge health problem for these people. Maybe lucid dreaming would be a way there where we can say, okay, next time you're wherever the trauma happens, you're going to rewrite this. So, for instance, imagery rehearsal therapy is already something for trauma and for this related stuff, is just rewriting the story. And in lucid dreaming, you can do that in an immersive way where...
Yeah, can't get more immersive than a dream.
Exactly,
And finally, you know, is it possible that we might be able to use it to improve performance in our waking lives, you know, sport or accuracy with art or being able to hit a target or that sort of thing?
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Really though? Is there evidence of that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, specifically in sports and physical performance enhancement, athletes use, for instance, also mental practice often in their training. So besides from actually physically performing whatever movements they have to do, they also do mental practice. So rehearsing whatever over and over and over in their head, which increases the performance afterwards. And lucid dreaming would be another way to do this, but in a more immersive way. So you have more feedback maybe with visual information or... it's like virtual reality, basically. But the problem there, and also so for sports, but also arts or creating art or music or composing, whatever, the thing that we are in the field now very focused on is inducing them, right? Reliably finding a lucid dream on a button press so we can help whoever needs it. The problem next, I think, will be how do we increase dream control? So even if you have a lucid dream every night, we see also in these, for instance, in these sports performance studies, We recruit super skilled lucid dreamers, or skilled and frequent. They come into the lab and we say, okay, we're just going to do a basic task. So you don't need to conjure a lot for this, just a surface in your dream and your fingers, and then do whatever tapping sequence or something with the fingers. And even like super skilled, super experienced lucid dreamers, they bump into problems like, my fingers got tangled up, I couldn't do this, or dream characters start intervening. And there's not a lot of research on why does person A on day one have a lot of dream control, but then the next day cannot do anything in their dream.
Right. Yeah.
Or inter-individual differences. We don't know.
Yeah, I forgot that just being aware is not enough. You need to be able to control what you're seeing.
One of my favorite quotes from a paper is this darts throwing paper, where they practicing darts. And then you see that the people who were distracted all the time, they don't have that much improvement afterwards, obviously, because you're distracted in your dream. And one of the quotes is, the doll kept throwing darts at me, which I just think is a really great example of, like, you're really trying to do it and you're there and you're ready and it's just not working.
Emma, thanks very much for your time. Emma Peters is a PhD student in the Lucid Lab at the University of Bern.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.